Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest this evening is Sue Thayer. Nobody in the pro-life community has been inside Planned Parenthood longer than Sue. She was a center manager for nearly 18 years and believed that she was helping women. But that changed when she was informed that she would soon be trained to do webcam abortions at her small rural Iowa center. Well, she was not happy with that. She was shocked. But her concerns fell on deaf ears, and she soon began to see the abortion giant Planned Parenthood in a new light. And ultimately, she has been willing to share her insider's knowledge. Her vast experience in the abortion industry, coupled with her changed heart and bold faith, has led to a whistleblower lawsuit that is currently in litigation. She went on to lead Storm Lake's first ever 40 Days for Life campaign at the very clinic that she had supervised for so many years. And shortly after completing the prayer vigil, Storm Lake Planned Parenthood became the first of 21 Iowa facilities to close forever. Sue is going to share her miraculous conversion with us, and we look forward to hearing what she has to say. God has definitely changed her life, and Sue, we want to welcome you to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. I'm happy to be with you.
Now, you said you believed you were helping women. That's what you were told, wasn't it?
When you start at Planned Parenthood, they really do have a way of making you feel like your work is very important, very noble. They train their employees to believe that abortion is really a right, mm-hmm. and you end up feeling like you're part of this wonderful thing. And it's kind of almost a brainwashing, I guess. And mm-hmm. once you get in and you fall for all that, you believe it, it's really difficult to change your mind. It's a big, long process, and it takes a lot of seeds really planted to come to see them in a new way. And sometimes those seeds come from within Planned Parenthood, things that they do. And sometimes it's people on the sidewalk that are praying or mm-hmm. others that you run into that say things, but it is a process to see them for who they really are.
Yeah. And it's tragic. Would it be safe? Now, you've been on both sides of this, and so I'm gonna make a statement that I've made in various contexts over the years, and I want you to tell me honestly if you feel this is unfair. It is not safe to trust people who kill babies for a living to always tell the truth.
I think that's very fair. They are not able to judge right from wrong.
Yeah.
Because their hearts have become so hardened. And so, you know, when we see statistics for numbers of abortions or any data that comes out of the abortion industry, I have a hard time believing it. I would question that,
yeah.
Everything, because, you know, basically of what their goal is, what their mission is, and it's the destruction of, you know, innocent life. In the thousands and millions, their consciences are seared, their hearts are so hard. So
yeah.
If they are capable of doing that, I don't know how we could really trust them to tell the truth.
Now, often when you read an article or you see what folks out there are saying, they cite research from something called the Guttmacher Institute. What is the Guttmacher Institute? I know the answer to this question, Sue, but I'd like for folks to hear it from somebody else.
Right. Well, that is a research arm of Planned Parenthood. Alan Guttmacher was the former CEO of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, and launched into this research arm. A lot of abortion data comes from there. Of course, we've seen the rise of webcam abortion, chemical or medication abortion, mm-hmm. pills sent out overnight, the abortion app, all of these things. And when we see abortion numbers, I honestly have a hard time believing, you know, any data that says they're going down, because the availability of the chemical abortion is just so prevalent. It's easy to get it anywhere, and I do believe that surgical abortions are probably declining, but
yes.
I am confident that, especially during, you know, the pandemic, they've made it so simple to be able to access those pills that I am almost sadly certain that numbers would be going up for chemical abortions.
So if we hear statistics from the Guttmacher Institute about what's happening in the field of abortion, that would, and it's presented usually in the news as if that's a sort of this separate thing, but as you said, it's an arm of Planned Parenthood. That would be a little bit like if the mob referred to their accountants having done an audit of the books and assuring us that all the money was being handled legally.
Correct. I think you have to, you know, consider the source. And,
yeah.
It's easily tainted. And I saw, for example, their reference to only 3% of the services that they provide are abortions. And doing the math on that over the years, I came to understand their way of creative accounting. You know,
yes.
They count every person, every visit in there as a single separate visit. So if one person comes in 13 times in a year for birth control pills, that's 13 visits. If a woman comes in once and has an abortion, they would say that out of those visits, 1/14 of them were abortion-related, when in reality it was 50% of the women in the clinic
yeah.
had an abortion. So they have a way of counting and making things kind of skewed to their advantage. They know that the more extreme they appear, the more they lose some of their middle-of-the-road support
yes.
and donors. And so although they did fire their, you know, their CEO, Leanna Wynn, because she was not abortion supportive enough.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I had a hard time believing that, but they did it.
Yep. Well, you know, I want to be very, very clear. It's not as if Planned Parenthood or others in the field of abortion are the only people who fudge in their reporting of the facts. And I don't want to make it seem that I'm suggesting that, because I'm not. Deceit is a problem with the human heart. But it is
yeah.
very important that people understand, whether we're talking about abortion or any number of other evils, that there is a huge human capacity for deceit, and that we shouldn't just take, you know, as fact, whatever we read in the news or whatever we hear from Planned Parenthood, because the fact is, and I'll say it again, people who kill babies over and over are not to be trusted to always tell the truth.
I couldn't agree more. Certainly we see that in our world today.
Absolutely.
In every area, you can't always believe what you see or trust that what you hear is 100% honest, but
right.
that's part of, as Christians, knowing the Lord and being able to discern what is authentic and what is not, and so
right.
sticking close to the Word of God and spending time in prayer, you know, makes it so it's easier for us, it's possible for us to tell, you know, fact from fiction and to sift out some of the bad stuff, and boy, there's a lot of it right now.
Amen. Amen. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Folks, that is Sue's testimony. Sue was one who...
some truth in there for me as well.
Exactly.
I have a hard time imagining anybody doing worse things than what I've done. And honestly, I've been to a couple of healing retreats for former abortion workers, and that's one of the few places where you can really speak freely, because if you're in a normal setting and you just say some of the things that we did or said or how we sold the abortions, you get the look like you really did that.
Yeah.
And so I get firsthand that redemptive love of Christ, and I just always think, gosh, if he can save me, he can save anybody.
Well, praise God.
I was pretty far gone.
Well, and I want our listeners to hear that, because we have people who listen to this broadcast who say, I don't even want to think about the fact that I had an abortion or that I had more than one abortion. And yet what is desperately needed is not just an end to abortion, but new life in Christ. We need for people to know that Jesus came to save sinners, and all of us fit in that category. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one who is righteous on the basis of their own conduct. Every single one of us has sinned grievously against God in one way or another. You may have never had anything to do with abortion, but if you're honest with yourself, you know, as you're listening to this broadcast this evening, that you have violated God's law. You've done things you shouldn't have done, and you failed to do things you should do, and your heart has often embraced lies from the enemy. You've hated people when God says we're to love our enemies. You have been covetous, wanting what belongs to someone else and feeling entitled to things that you don't have. You have sinned against God. All of us have. But Jesus came for folks like us. Jesus came to save sinners, not just to forgive us. I want it to be real clear. Sue is not still running a Planned Parenthood clinic. She isn't saying, well, thank God Jesus forgives, and I'm just glad that it doesn't really matter what we do, because the important thing is just that we believe in Jesus. No. When Jesus saves us, he doesn't just forgive us. He transforms us. And Sue is now a warrior for truth, for Christ. She is somebody who is out sharing the good news. She's the founder and former director of Cornerstone for Life Pregnancy Resource Center, and now she works as director of outreach for 40 Days for Life. She's come full circle.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, I know that, God was pursuing me while I was at Planned Parenthood, and when they started doing webcam abortion, it's a chemical or medication abortion done by non-medical staff, no doctor on site. It's just a bad thing all the way around. And they announced they were going to be doing those. They were training non-medical staff like managers and entry-level clinic assistants to do vaginal ultrasounds. I spoke up and was fired. But he was calling me while I was there. Mm-hmm. And even after I got out, I was like, okay, Lord, I'm out of there. I've told Iowa Right to Life was who I called and said, this is what they're doing. Can you guys fix it? Stop it somehow. I couldn't believe it was legal.
Yeah.
So in my own little way, I felt vindicated. But still, God was not done with me. And he kept really calling me and pursuing me. And I just was not content or settled. I wasn't fully at peace. And he finally just led me to 40 Days for Life. And I knew about it from working there.
Mm-hmm.
We had never had a full vigil in front of the clinic that I managed, but in the larger places in Iowa, my colleagues, managers at other Planned Parenthoods would say, there's these crazy people and they're outside every day and they come for 40 days and it drives us crazy. Nobody shows up and, we're not hitting our goals or quotas and that's what he was calling me to. And I was like, Lord, anything but that. Please don't make me do that. You know, my town is going to think I've lost my mind.
Yep.
And so even after I got out, I was still just resisting that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had saved me and brought me out, but he wasn't done with me yet. And so it's just a process of listening. And I think complacency was what was stuck. I was just kind of stuck there. I thought, well, I did what you wanted me to do, and now I'm done. And, you know, he wasn't done with me. And I think when we accept what he puts before us, it enlarges our territory, so to speak. Our
Amen.
Box gets a little bit bigger. And when we do that and we follow his promptings and are obedient to him, then he gives us the next step or the next level. And he equips us for that as we go. And what an adventure it's been for me, you know, and he'll do that for anybody. He's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
You don't have to have worked inside Planned Parenthood to have a great testimony for life. But it's an issue where I'll meet people that say, well, I'm pro-life, but I don't really speak up about it. I've never had an abortion. I don't support, you know, a pro-abortion candidate or anything, but I don't really do anything about it. And so that's the blessing of 40 Days for Life, is it's easy to go out in front of your nearest abortion facility and pray, you know, for a couple hours and stand for life and,
mm-hmm.
and show your support for Jesus Christ and just be out there and not be afraid.
You know, the only time, and it wasn't a Planned Parenthood clinic, but it was a privately owned abortion clinic on the north side of Atlanta. The only time that I've talked with somebody who ran an abortion clinic, other than those who've come out of it, like yourself, but the only time I've talked with somebody who was still in it was the owner of that clinic on the north side of town. And I had led groups from our church and been a part of other groups in our community picketing that clinic. And the owner contacted me because she wanted counseling. And what she said to me was this, I'll never forget it. She said, you know, the reason I'm reaching out to you is because I've seen you out there and I can tell that you're someone I could trust. Now, I mean, she didn't like having us out there. But here's what she said. She said, I know that abortion is wrong. I know that we're killing human beings. And she said, it makes me so sick that most of the time on the days that we do the procedures, I stay home and don't go into work. Because she said, it makes me ill to think about what's going on. And she said,
wow.
I said, then why are you doing this? She said, I've given money to National Right to Life. She said, I think it ought to be outlawed. I think they ought to put a stop to it. But she said, Jim, until they do, you have no idea how much money is being made. And she said, yeah. I just can't walk away from the money. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, I was shocked. I mean, I was really shocked, but I had met with this person face to face when she came for counseling, not knowing what she did for a living. And then she left mm-hmm. me her card, and I thought, that's the name of that clinic. And so I called her on the phone at the number on the card, and the call was routed to her, and she took the call, and I said, why would you reach out to me? And she said, because I could tell that you're someone I can trust. Now, you know, what she was doing was absolutely awful, but we need to know that there are people like you were at one point as you were transitioning out, as God was reaching out to you and calling you out. There are people who really struggle with their conscience as they begin to wake up to the reality of what's happening there.
Absolutely. And, you know, they likely don't have contact with Christians. They're not in the Word. They don't listen to Christian radio, Christian mm-hmm. talk. And so looking out their window and seeing people out there praying is the only way that they have any contact with the Lord. And the staff quickly comes to know who is praying, who is reverent,
mm-hmm.
who is kind. They watch you know, your faces, your interactions.
Yeah.
Sometimes people go and they yell and they have graphic signs and they're condemning and calling bad names and all that in the name of being pro-life. And those folks are not helpful.
Yeah.
But, you know, we saw it, of course, in Abby Johnson's story. You know, Sean Carney was a great guy. He and Mary Lisa and others stood outside the fence and prayed. So she knew that they were trustworthy and that she could go to them.
Yes.
And that they would be kind to her. And that's the unconditional love of Christ that you're showing when you stand outside of an abortion facility.
Yeah. It's not there to condemn the people, but definitely there to stand in prayer against the evil that is taking place. And as you indicated, so much of what goes on in the field of abortion is not only deadly for the children, but it is harmful to the women.
Mm-hmm.
There is a friend of mine from Chattanooga, Tennessee, used to sometimes speak at some of the gatherings that we would have, like at the state capitol in Georgia and that kind of thing. He would say, abortion may still be legal in the United States, but malpractice isn't. And if you've been injured in abortion, I want you to know that there is help available and you ought to sue. And, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and he didn't take money from any of the suits. He simply tried to get women who had been harmed to step past the shame and realize you should not let these butchers get away with this. Because, as you said, a lot of the stuff that goes on is unlicensed people, ill-equipped people, folks who are not well trained, who should not be authorized to do these things. I was very pleased to see that the Supreme Court turned down the request to make it so that anybody could just order the pills in the mail, and that had been shot down. And the folks appealed. I think it was Planned Parenthood appealed, but anyway, somebody appealed to the Supreme Court, and apparently the Supreme Court said no, that is not safe for women. There needs to be a doctor involved in the process. Now, you can still get it by mail, but there needs to be a doctor who's putting their name on the line. Because there are women who try and use those pills later in the pregnancy and can have horrible effects on them as well as on the child.
Well, the later gestation it is, the riskier it becomes. And
yes.
When we started doing them in Iowa, we had done the clinical trials for RU486, the French abortion pill. So
yes.
We were familiar with chemical abortions. The FDA had approved them through day 49. But right out of the chute, when we first started doing them, we were up to day 63. And then it went to day 70. And now they do them through day 77. So it just really geometrically increases the complication rate. And, of course, instead of having to go into a clinic and get an ultrasound so at least you know how far along they are, because of COVID and the restrictions in place, they could just call and say their date of their last period, and then they would go ahead and overnight the pills to them.
Yeah.
And there were just a lot of complications with that.
Absolutely.
So it was a great victory for life when the Supreme Court did make that ruling, and it was a big blow to the folks that earn their money by sending those abortion pills out.
Yep. Well, Sue, thank you so much. I wish we had more time to talk. I think we're going to have you back on the program another time. But
that'd be awesome, Jim. Let me know. I'll be glad to come on anytime.
Great. Sue, God bless you and keep up the good work.
Thank you. You too, Jim. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.